Oh, writing the lyrics? Yeah, like, you know, like in all black exploitation movies, like they're like that. Like, you know, Freddy's dead, or like there's a Fred Williamson movie, like where James Brown does a song called Mama's Dead when he's at the funeral. So it's like, it's not really that much of an exaggeration. But it was fun. I actually wrote the lyrics to the Cleaning Up the Streets song, which thank you. I'm hoping to be nominated.
Can you tell us quickly about Michael, the very talented Michael Jai White, who is nothing but not my life.
Actually, the whole thing was Michael's idea. We had worked together on a movie called Biggest Thieves 10 years ago. I directed a movie, it was with Alec Baldwin 10 years ago, and we always wanted to do another movie together. And so I approached him about some other movie, and then he had already like taken pictures of himself in an outfit. Like with a gun and a nunchucks, and I was like, you know what, this seems like a good idea. Like, I mean, Mike is, you know, he's that's what he's known for basically, is like karate movies and like sort of like these action movies. And I mean, he's like 230 pounds and can jump 10 feet in the air, like a lighthouse, you know. So we shot a trailer together that was like a $500 trailer where we just put him on the end of like, we had him shooting and then I cut some from some black exploitation movie in the 70s. It cost us like $500. And that's what got the movie made. Like, we just made that trailer and like, we got a financier said, okay, let's do it. And that trailer actually is still on YouTube. It's kind of funny.
Nice to try it on Dynamite.
Yeah.
Yeah, the question is, how did we get all the actors involved in the project? A lot of them were friends of Mike's. And so, you know, like that pimp scene was like, it's like one day. So it was like, hey Arsenio, would you like to do, you know, play a pimp for a day and work with, you know, Kathy Kangaroo Pimp? And he's like, yeah, sure, why not, you know? So that was pretty easy. So, and Tommy Davidson was with us, like, when we did the early trailer, like, so he's been up on board a long time. And Byron, we also wrote the script with the guy who plays Bullhorn, who got his head chopped off, so. the origins of Kathy Kangaroo Pimp. Mike just wrote it, I don't know, like, we just thought, like, the funny thing is, like, Kathy Kangaroo's suit looks like a pimp suit. So, I think that's how it kind of came about, but, like, we were really lucky because our extras casting was really, really good. Like, this guy just comes on to the set looking exactly like Kathy Kangaroo. And it's like, this guy's, like, just a regular extra dude, like, and he comes, he's got, like, a, you know, hot girl on his lap, and everybody's, like, all over him, he's like, what kind of day is this at work, you know? You're in LA, you're, you know, like an extra, you're just doing a variety of things, you're generally in the background, you know. You know, I'm sure this was kind of the highlight for him, so.
Have you ever actually tried chili with donuts?
No. No, like, well, like, our whole thing was this, like, it seemed like just chicken and waffles together just seemed so weird. Like, if you think about it, like, just a combination of the two. So, I don't know, that's why, like, chili and donuts just seemed just as, like, rational, though. Oh, balcony.
Where did you find those houses?
We were really lucky.
Were fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Okay, the question is, where did we find the houses, and the sets were fantastic. I had a really great set designer named Denise Dezzini, who was really, really great. I mean, which considering that there's like 80, 90 sets on our budget, you know, it's pretty good. So, but a lot of those houses were exactly like that. And they're in, we were really lucky because there's a section of LA called Ladera Heights where it was just like, you know, 70-year-old black people who don't like change how their houses. So like every day, like if we just hit a house, like the house, honeybees, brothel or whatever the hell that is. Like, that's how it looks. We didn't do anything. So, I mean, imagine, like, on no budget, you know, we don't have any money to make the movie. And then you walk into the house, I'm like, oh, thank you. You know, so, but that guy who owned that house was a reverend, so I was, like, really kind of, I was hoping he was going to kick us out. And we threw a brothel in his house. And we also shot Nixon's sex pictures in there. So, I don't know, I used to have wondering what he was thinking when we were doing this movie. We had already had a trailer out on November 23rd, and like it went over pretty big on the internet, like it crashed our server, so there was like all this anticipation. But we kind of like cooked it a little bit, like we gave out all these t-shirts, so like I'm walking in and I'm thinking like all these people were all into the movie, but we just handed them t-shirts, but still they had like all had on Black Dynamite t-shirts, and they were like, you know, really into it. And then, so I DJed the night, that night, and then we sold the movie to Sony like 5 or 6 hours later, and which is kind of funny because all the stock footage we actually bought from Sony. Like, we couldn't have made the movie, you know, without, you know, the Sony stock footage, because like a lot of the footage in the movie comes from like Charlie's Angels, the TV show, Charlie's Angels the movie. Like, we didn't get this from Sony, but like a lot of it comes from Chuck Norris's Missing in Action. Just like, you know, like Police Woman, The Rookies, like all these like old 70s TV shows. So, and I actually had to back into it a little bit, because there's no way, like, okay, we need a car chase. Well, we're not going to have a car chase with vintage cars going down the highway. You know what I mean? So we had to like find a car chase and then say, okay, well, here's what the car chase is going to be like. Which is kind of like complicated, because you're just like, you're in pre-production and already, you know, you're just like, oh yeah, car chase, you know what I mean? Like, you have to sort of back into it a little bit.
The malt liquor revelation scene, the whole dialogue.
Yeah.
Just get up walking, talking, like, hey guys, let's just fucking do some shit. It was fantastic.
Yeah, thanks.
It was great.
Yep, Mike wrote that too. I don't even know how he did it. It was weird because like a lot of things started to alter it. Like, because like if you remove one piece, it kind of doesn't work, you know, because it all flows. And for whatever like legal reasons, like we couldn't use, it was supposed to be Python malt liquor. And then in the last second, we had to change the snake. And then we were actually going to have Little Richard in the movie, but like, you know, he's going to do advertising for it. But he, like, the thing is, like, when you're trying to do deals with like really old dudes, like they all get like, you know, they want a lot of money. So we had to like figure it out, like how can we say Little Richard, because you have to say Little Richard to get to Little Dick, but have Little Richard not sue us. You know, so it was trying to figure it out, a lot of that stuff we had to figure out on the set. So yeah, it was kind of, that part was kind of complicated. Like, we had to, if you alter parts of it, it would be all kind of off. We had to commit to it too, because you can't just like lift humps out of it and then have it make, not like it really makes sense anyway. Maybe I'm taking it a little too seriously.
Did you stick to the script throughout the bunch, or did you do any improvisation?
The question is, do we stick to the script, or was there a lot of improvisation? We pretty much stuck to the script. I mean, the pimp scene, there was a little bit of improvisation in there. You know, it's the I sell drugs in the community. That was the improvisation. And then, like, sometimes, like, it wasn't so much improvisation, but we just had to write on the set because we didn't know, like, what we were going to, you know, like, when we got there, some things felt a little wrong. Like, the scene with the nurse, like, we had it really explicit, like, Black Dynamite was going to be behind her, like, having sex with her doggy style, and then we're like, we got there, and like, you know what, that's a little much. So we had to, like, figure out what it, you know, it was like, oh, you're Dr. Dynamite. So it's just, like, little alterations, but nothing too big.
Did you
That one was. That one's planned. I mean, we had a. That's the weird thing about the movie is that, like, I had to see, like, figure out which mistakes were okay to have. Because we had lots of mistakes, and then, but, like, I didn't want one that was, like, a 2009 mistake. Like, you know, like, oh, there goes an SUV. Like, that's not funny. But, like, you know, if, like, a boom's in the shot, that's fine. Like, because there are a couple of unplanned ones in there, too. But that is basically our big ode to Dolomite, which, in Dolomite, I mean, there are booms in almost every shot of the movie. I mean, fight scenes, everything. I mean, it's just like, you know, they just kept moving. So. Oh, what was the inspiration for the stuntman to switch roles in the fight? Well, like, because the whole thing with Bullhorn is like everything that he did was so fake and phony that he's really bad at karate, which is also an ode to Dolomite. that when he really hits, like the story behind that is that he really hits the guy, and then that guy gets really, really pissed off, and then they had a fight on the set, and then they just had to replace him with another actor. Which actually, well, that didn't happen in Dolomite, but what actually happened in The Human Tornado is that Ernie Hudson, who's the black Ghostbuster, he's in that movie, and he just didn't feel like he had to do something that day or work. And so they just replaced him with his brother. Like, so you see, like, Ernie Hudson beating somebody up, and then it's like his brother, and then it's Ernie Hudson again. I think that's where he came up with that idea. We have one more. Oh, who's the actor?
Yeah.
It's a guy named Jimmy Walker, actually. Which is kind of funny. He's like Mike saw that on the exact cast that role, and Mike saw it on the call sheet. He got really pissed off. He's like, "You did not put Jimmy JJ Dino Mike Walker." He'd be really distracting. I was like, "No, they just have the same." Okay. Well, great. Thank you guys for coming out.
Where you're going to be straight after this screening?
I am DJing at the Rec Room. That's what I did in between my two movies. I DJ. There you go.
We'll see Scott at the Annex Rec Room. Just a 5-minute walk from here, straight out the door, and your tickets and passes will get you right in. And don't forget to vote for this in the Audience Choice Award. And we will see you at our closing night opening gala night party. See you in a couple minutes.